to sell to them and to bring them in. And we do have on the ground sufficient marketing avenues to be able to bring them in. So that is how we arrived at the 24 markets. The rest that are on the watch list, it doesn't mean that they're not attractive. It simply means that there's a more efficient marketing model that we can use in order to access those markets. So in those markets, we work together with our international relations colleagues. I think that was another question that was raised. We work together with our international relations our partners in order for us to be able to market in those environments. So that is, you know, how we look at the market lists. And then there was another question around business events. I'll also allow, with your permission, Chair, you know, for my colleague Amanda Kutsentlapo to, you know, to weigh in on this one, as well as on the issue of grading. But we do have a very consistent and a very, you know, a robust bid support system where we help the organizations that are bidding for particular events to come to South Africa around the world, where we collaborate with them, that way we assist them, you know, strategically and financially to make sure that we're able to win those bids and bring them, you know, into the country. And then once we've won a bid, is then to then work in terms of delegate boosting to make sure that the groups that actually... simply don't subscribe. So what we do is then we work to make sure that the delegates actually sign up, and that the delegates also bring, you know, their friends and family with them, so that the size of the delegation is optimized. But Amanda will speak to that in a moment. On the issue of grading, absolutely, that question is a valid one. I think it was it was raised by Honourable Gomba that the review of the grading system, you know, has to be, you know, front and center. We have looked at it. Because, you know, you've got the stock grading system, which looks at the product side, the physical, you know, grading of the physical infrastructure. But if you look at what is the trend that is happening worldwide, if you look at, you know, the grading system, for example, that Airbnb, you know, et cetera, would use, they not only grade the product itself, but they grade the experience. And it is graded by the user rather than by, you know, a body that goes out and grades the establishment. So we've got to get the fine balance between product experience and also user information so that we're able to have a grading system that is agile, that is competitive, and that actually addresses the issues not only of quality assurance, but also of assuring the user that the grading is actually efficacious. So that is the process that we're busy going through at the moment, and Amanda will speak to that in a moment. Around the Indaba report, again, with your permission, Chair, my colleague Amanda will speak to this, but what I can assure, this committee is that what we did is we had a combination of two sets of SMMEs that we put in. The one set is the hidden gems, which was about 90 of those that we poured in from across the country, from villages, towns, and small towns. These are products that would not normally have made it to Indaba had we not hosted them. So we are able to host them there. The second thing that we did is then there's a speed marketing platform where they're not just exhibiting, but they're able to go and sit in front of an international buyer and pitch the product, which they would not normally have been able to do. So that those are the two drivers that we used, and there were over 60 sessions that of speed marketing that happened over that period. I think the number could actually be higher. That was my last count. But we were able to not just give them, you know, exhibition opportunity, but actually put them in front of buyers, which is direct market access. So we are quite happy, you know, that was achieved. And we will continue to do so in subsequent endeavors. I'm going to stop there and just open up There's just one last one in terms of the target. So the target of 21 million is a policy decision, a policy pronouncement by the presidency at the, State of the Nation address. So it is the policy of the country. We, before we went into the lockdown in 2020, the natural growth trajectory was going to take us to 16.5 million, which meant that there would be a delta of 4.5 million. And we were in the process of putting together the plans to, to bridge that 4.5 million delta. COVID then hit. So what, the acting chief strategy officer was showing is that now that we've lost, a few years in terms of our, over this period, the target has actually now become a lot more onerous. I think it's sitting at about 6 million plus now. And the plans that we are now putting into place say we'll have the APP that, runs against, the target that we have, but we have also put aside resource to be able to now gear for that particular delta. And that is a process that is ongoing, looking at where we're at right now as, markets begin to open up. And we will continue to report on that particular aspect. It is something that is that we are tracking. We believe that it is achievable, but with major interventions and major structural change in terms of the way in which we go to market. So that is work that is currently ongoing, and we will report on that. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. With your permission, could I kindly ask, the Chief Strategy Officer and then, our Chief Convention Bureau Officer to be able to weigh in on some of the things that I might not have picked up. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, XCO. Yes, I fully agree with you on your assertions in terms of how we categorize our markets in terms of the growth market, the defend market, and the watch list. And I think it's important to also emphasize to Honorable Defeaters that the watch list markets are very key for us as South African tourism. They are under our microscope to see what is currently happening in those countries. What are the investments do we actually need to put into those markets to make sure that we move those countries into our growth markets or into our defend markets? So I agree with you, CEO, and there's nothing else to add apart from what I've just said. I will hand over to Amanda now to also augment on some of the key points you raised. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair members, Deputy Minister, our Chair Board members and colleagues. I just want to quickly touch on, and I heard you, Chair, about Africa's travel in Durban and Durban, but I won't comment on it now. But thank you so much again for being there and also oversight, what happened there. Just to touch on it, Honourable Gumba, I think CEO already indicated, I would add one thing more to say that we also had a grading or a TGCSA pavilion, of which we had 25 products, and also, those ones that are quite, that is in the East, so they were also there and had a huge opportunity to meet with the buyers. Then the second one linked with that, with the SMME specifically, is also that the provinces, so CEO spoke about the 90, so 10 from each province, but then also the provinces themselves, each one of them has a number of SMMEs on their stands, and that is a trend that we saw at Africa Fair in Durban this year, is that there were bigger pavilions. So people, whilst they couldn't afford to come by themselves, and we also did quite a lot of support, subsidy to these exhibitors. We found that people not built their own stand or separately, but they actually were together, under either provinces or bigger groups. So I think that was, quite successful. That this year it wasn't about the size, but about the quality, of those stands. And then just to touch on the grading, as the CEO also indicated, there is a policy. policy review that is happening on with the Department of Tourism as part of the bigger policy review. At the moment, and I know that Honourable De Freitas asked about, you know, is it will it be free? At the moment, that is not something that, you know, there's not a pronouncement around it. But what I can say that the Tourism Incentive Program for grading is really very successful. And if you qualify for, you know, for those those funds, you basically have free grading. What we also are doing with the department is to look at those people that don't qualify for TIP. How do we help them, you know, to get the criteria that they need to meet? How do we get the business criteria in place? And that is also a project that we work very close with the Department of Tourism. And as I said, you know, yield quite a lot of success. What I need to just say, Honourable Chair, is to say that what we do see in the financial year that we just end, that, you know, during this time of COVID, and I think it's linked to what Honourable Guma asked, is that we saw a drop of around about 1,300, but then we also saw, and I'm talking membership, you know, for all graded establishments, but we also saw a lot of new, as the CEO said, a new, you know, uptake of people, and that was what we did, what we call the Eastern Cape pilot, the BQV, the Basic Quality Verification Program, where we actually got 184 monthly women, homestays and small establishments that were quality assured. So that is a program, as you as was presented by CFO, a program in Program 5 that we will continue, and the next two provinces that we are looking at is KZN as well as Limpopo. I think I will leave it there and just ask the CFO, Honourable De Freitas, to just talk a little bit about the budget for business events. And as the CEO said, I think from that the Board of South African Tourism, you know, approved that we and Treasury that we have a bid support program. We did see, you know, quite a lot of uptake on it and success. I'll hand over to the CFO. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with the question from Honourable Makubela around internal control environment and the audit issues in the 2020-21 financial year. Chair, I can confirm that in November last year, in the beginning of the year as well, we presented the audit improvement plan. It's a plan that we have tracked and it was also strictly tracked at both internal audit, so audit level, as well as by our board. I can also confirm that when we compiled our quarter four report performance information, one of our key targets there was the implementation of valid recommendations from the internal and external auditors. So it links back to the audit findings that we would have that were issued in the previous year. Can confirm that it has been verified and the necessary assurance provided that those findings that were raised in the previous year were actually closed in the in the last financial year. Chair, I'd also confirm that we don't have similar transactions for the financial year ended 2022. And then in addition to that, we also went through a process of reviewing our MOU with levy collectors to ensure that there are no gaps and there's clarity around the usage of funds. And then there was a question, Chair, from Honourable Mpushe. Honourable Member, you are correct. When you have limited financial resources, you've got two choices. It's either you work on your revenue line, you try and generate more revenue, or you work on your efficiencies, which is your expenditure line, where you find areas where you can collaborate and actually stretch the amount of financial resources that you have available. And we have done that. I think your question was specific to what strategic partnerships do we have to make sure that we are able to spend the budget that we has been allocated to us. I can confirm, Chair, that in fact we do have as part of our tourism execution business unit a resource that is dedicated to find a way to close that gap, and they work closely with the International Relations Department. We also have within the Office of the CEO a resource as well that has closed the gaps by working closely with our provincial tourism authorities in order to make sure that our consolidated budget is able to drive tourism in our country. Honourable, there was a question here from Honourable Kobo as well. I think it linked to value for money, especially for the financial resources that have been allocated to the different programs in our annual performance plan. Honourable Kago, you are correct. Value for money is one of the criteria that we look at before we commit the funds. We do follow the three-bit committee system as outlined by Treasury before we can then commit any of our funds. We also have on a quarterly basis financial and non-financial reviews of the work that we do so that we are able to hold budget owners accountable when it comes to the spending of South African tourism funds. And then just lastly, which is something that Amanda looked on, Chair, was the allocation for business tourism. This is a priority area for us. And I think that's, I just need to emphasize, I know there's a question from Honourable Defectors around that the investment show that this is a priority area for SA Tourism. It does. We would love to have more, but what we've done in the interim is that part of the brand and marketing budget, which is part of Program 3, also services some of Amanda's marketing activities. And the reason we've centralized it so that we are able to find economies of scale between the leisure marketing as well as the work that we do in business tourism. So Program 4, you've got your key financial investment for resources, but in the brand and marketing, for a centralized portion that also talks to the work that Amanda and the NCB team does. Thank you, Chair. I will now hand back to our Chair, Interim Chair of the Board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just to address some of the questions very quickly, Chair of the Portfolio Committee. Honourable Winkler asked about the appointment of the board. I will leave that to the Deputy Minister. Safe to say that I think advertisement closed towards the end of March for appointment of the new board or for people to make themselves available. The second question Honourable Winkler asked was about our global marketing, which is marketing overseas, whether we see a proper ROI. As the board, we always insist on that, Honourable Winkler, which is why you would remember we sent back about 60% of our budget during COVID, because it would have been a waste of money to advertise at a time when markets were shut down and people couldn't travel. So we always focus on that as a board. Just to say on the domestic packages and how they are priced, members would know that, I won't address this, but I appeared together with some colleagues before you in a different capacity on the policy issues that were proposed, new policy issues, and that is also included in that. I don't know how far that is within the department. That applies to global health passports as well. It's a policy issue. The Deputy Minister would probably speak to that. On the employment of the CEO, Honourable Kweka and others, you would know that the appointment of the CEO is we need the minister's participation in the process. She has to approved. The board has done its work, we sent the recommendations. What happened was that we started the process under the previous minister, and we had shortlisted, and then there was a change in ministers, and the minister asked us to give a short while to settle in, and so that she gets on top of the portfolio, which we did, but then we then asked her if we can proceed with the appointment of the CEO, and she agreed after settling in. So there was a little bit of time lost, and then we proceeded and we did the interviews, and we sent her the recommended a person that we thought is best suited to the CEO. This was I think the 6th of April when I signed a letter to her. So we're waiting for her to let us know whether she accepts or doesn't accept the board's recommendation. I think I've spoken about the preferential pricing and other deflators. Also grading is also part of the policy issues. Whether it is free or not was highly debated in the policy debate committee that we were in. Just to say, Honorable Makubela, I know the CEO and the team have spoken about the target of 21 million. I think it as they say, it was a target set, and if it becomes clear that we cannot reach it, we have to come back to you, to the country, to the president, and explain why it is not possible to reach it. We can't keep repeating something that we know scientifically may not be possible. So the new board will look into that and come back to you. On the audit, the last audit finding, in addition to what the CFO has said, the way in which we have separated it, the Thompson levy was not the challenge with the audit funding. It was a collaborative fund. So in the new MOU, we've made it clear that the SAT cannot be an applicant to the collaborative fund and also be on the decision-making body. So you apply and then you judge yourself on the collaborative fund. So we've separated those funds to make sure that OMSA levy is collected, paid over to SAT, and whatever is paid out of it, it follows SAT, SCM processes. The collaborative fund, TBCSA, and people must apply there. SAT can sit with TBSA because it's our collaborative. But we must never apply for funding under collaborative fund. Other people apply, it follows TBCSA, SCM processes. So we've really made it quite clear, I mean, just to be specific on what we have done. I think they have spoken about grading and just to say, on brand SA, honorable members would know that a process started when the previous minister was there to try and merge SAT and brand SA. And that process had gone a little bit down the line when there was a change in the executive authority and both sides in the presidency where Brand SA and in SAT. And I mean, as the board, I must be honest, we have not had any formal communication as to what is happening with that process. But at our last strategic session, I think it became clear the message, the minister was not there, but the message that came was that process is probably being put on hold for a while. I, I don't know whether it's because the executive authorities have changed on both sides, or whether there's been a change in the policy direction about merging those institutions. So the last thing I would like to say, honourable members, is that it's you are the final policy makers. You know, the act will come to you for approval. The South African Tourism Act creates a very difficult situation where it provides that the board is the accounting officer, but we don't run the organisation at all. We meet once a quarter. Each one of us are non-executive, independent board members. So most of the time, the board really does not know in the detail what is going on in the organization on a day-to-day basis. But to be an accounting officer means you have to be in the organization almost like you'd have the Human Rights Commission. The commissioners are full-time, or the IEC, the commissioners are full-time. So it's just a question that I want to leave with you as policymakers. When you look at the policies that are going to come perhaps to you to look at revising the South African Tourism Act, that's one of the matters that you may want to look at. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for indulging us. And I think the Deputy Minister is the one who can talk about the appointment of the new board with your permission. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Honourable Members, do you have follow-up questions? No follow-up questions?
I don't have Honourable Chair.
Honourable Tebani. Honourable Tebani.
Thank you, Stepperson. Sorry for the delay. I was sabotaged by my network. I've got just one question, Chairperson. I had the SAT saying COVID-19 has taken the 2030 plan backwards by 4 years. So I want to know, how will they recover that lost time? And again, since this international disaster called COVID have disturbed tourism industry so much, did they this time around invest more or put more budget on local and domestic tourism so that during this disaster period we can have something to keep tourism busy? Thank you very much.
Honorable Defrikas. Please lower your hand when it's done.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to the last speaker from the SA Tourism. It was almost a throwaway line, but I don't want it to be a throwaway line. Can you just explain, in any case that I understand, my understanding is that
You are breaking. We can't hear you. You are breaking.
Can you hear me now?
Better.
Better now? Sorry.
Yes.
I've got a bit bad signal was disclosed. I just wanted to understand the last speaker from the board. I just wanted to understand if this is what he said. that the person that overlooks the finances and so forth warrants being a full-time board member. Is that correct? Did I understand that correctly? Because that's something, something that the portfolio committee should take note of, if that's the case. Thank you.
Honorable Deputy Chairs is gone. Honorable Winkler.
Thank you, Chair. I just would like to know if the board members or the department could flesh out exactly what strategies they are using in emerging and established markets to advertise brand South Africa. Thank you.
Can you respond to those questions, SAT?
Chair, can I ask the acting CEO to respond to the advertising South Africa, the strategies we use in market to advertise? Mr. Kumalo.
Thank you very much, Chair. In terms of the mix that we use in each of the markets, is we look at a combination of how to drive brand stature and also how to drive conversion. Because if you just drive, you know, awareness and, you know, and brand stature and it doesn't result in an actual sale, yes, you might have enhanced the brand, but, you know, what we want is people traveling to the country and spending money in our economy. So in order to do that, we are really, really targeted. So we focus a lot on channel, based communications, which is a direct. Swing in the sale, and on the demand creation side, on digital channels, which are a lot more immediate, a lot more agile, and you are able to track whether when a person was on your site, when a person was engaging with your content, whether that actually then eventually led to a conversion. So we really look very tightly at digital channels as our primary source. Around that, then you create a halo of brand strength, which is a combination of classical advertising and PR and global advocacy, because you have to then look at what are the intervening factors and take those out, you know, through advocacy, and look at what are the enhancing factors and drive those through PR. And then the overall positioning you drive through classical advertising. So that is a mix that we use when we go into, in particular, the, you know, the core markets. And we tried a similar kind of mix on an adjusted scale in the watchlist markets. So that's the first one. On the second question around, you know, driving the 4-year recovery and driving, you know, domestic tourism and regional tourism. The focus absolutely is making sure that our domestic tourism thrives. If you look at all strong tourism markets around the world, they first and foremost primarily have a very strong domestic tourism market. It does two things. It creates stability because people are traveling and the sector is able to generate revenue. But it also works with the social cohesion. It works with the hosting mindset of a country so that when tourists come in, if you yourself are, you know, are a traveler, it makes you a better host or hostess in terms of how you engage and how you appreciate tourists coming into the country. So it is absolutely important, even for our international marketing, that we have a strong domestic market that is growing very, very rapidly. So that is what we're doing from a mix standpoint. And then in terms of hitting the numbers, you know, as the interim chair, you know, mentioned, that is a policy decision that, you know, has to be informed by, you know, by science. We need to, you know, come back and actually put up the numbers. Targets can always be achievable, but there's always a cost to how you achieve that, you know, those targets. So there needs to be a business case that says, all things being equal, this is where we're going to end up. But if we do X, Y, and Z, we can hit that number. And then it simply becomes an issue of whether X, Y, and Z is available in order for, you know, for us to be able to, you know, to achieve that target. And a big part of that X, Y, and Z in order to achieve the target is based on regional marketing on the African continent, because you need to rely on road access markets and your your short and medium haul markets in order to make the numbers, and then rely on the international markets coming in to make the, you know, to have the economic and financial, you know, targets are met. So that's a combination that we're looking at, and as we proceed in the course of the year, that science will become a lot more clear, and we'll be able to then present those options. Thank you very much. Let me hand back to the interim chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to answer Honorable Defritas, I apologize that on the screen you just have my first name. The last speaker is Advocate Mojang Kukumbi, the interim chair of South African Tourism of the board. It wasn't a throwaway line. I was asking that the honorable members look at the South African Tourism Act, which makes the board the accounting officer. It clearly states that the board is the accounting officer of South African Tourism. But the board is not full-time. It's people who are busy with other things. All of them are non-executive. And so it's very difficult because it does not run the organization. It's very difficult sometimes to know exactly what is happening. You know, some of the matters are discussed between the executives and the department. So the Department of Tourism and the executives at South African Tourism have regular meetings, plan stuff, and so we sometimes come in as guests. As the board comes in as guests, and we are not hands-on, but the act says that you are an accounting officer, and that's a very important responsibility. As you know, Honorable Directors, I came before the board on that audit finding about decisions that we were not involved in at all. We didn't even know that had happened because the executives went ahead to sign documents, exchange them, and all of that. So I'm saying that model where the Act makes the board the accounting officer, so as you know what an accounting officer is, you know that. But we are not there, not even represented full-time. It's really just a very difficult situation. That's all I was saying. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair Advocate Kumbi. Honorable DM.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, honorable members, for the input and clarity and engagement on the EPP. Well, briefly, to indicate that the process towards the appointment of the board, it's towards its final stage. As the interim chair has indicated, that we've done shortlistings, and I mean, a select committee was put in place, which then received the submissions and then analyze and then make a recommendation to the minister for her consideration. We are targeting that the minister should be able to submit the memo to cabinet for the approval, because the final determination on the appointment of the boards rests with a cabinet must approve it. So the process, we are targeting that the cabinet meeting of the 25th of this month should be the date in which this matter of the appointment of the board is subjected to approval by cabinet. So we're hoping that that's the target that we're targeting, so that by the end of the month, then you will have a new board in place. So that's where we are in relation to that matter. And then in relation to the issue that the interim chair advocate is raising around the accounting office vis-a-vis the work of the board, she's correct that there's a need to review that because board members, they are not full-time. And therefore, the accounting officer should be the CEO, and then the board should be the accounting authority in terms of the PSMA. So those are matters that, as part of a process, as you know, we are busy with the process of the white paper review, of which that white paper review will then culminate into a amendment of the Tourism Act of 2014. Which will then include the changes around the issue how even the naming of the board itself, the way it is structured in the Act, it is not correct. So those are the things that will be considered holistically with the whole new approach that will have been developed on the white paper. As you know, when they did the department was presenting the APP that we are now in the green paper stage, where it's subjected to the public scrutiny and public input, of which that will then result towards at the end receiving the input and consolidate them. And then from there submit the policy proposal or review to cabinet for approval. Once then cabinet approves the white paper, then the process of then a putting a legislation in place or amending the Tourism Act will then ensue as a result of that. So that will then cover the issue that Honorable De Freitas raised around the issue of the position that the portfolio committee has been raising around the issue of the grading, that it should be made compulsory and free. So those are issues that will be determined through the process of the review of the white paper process that is unfolding. The outcome will then be able to tell us what forms of grading to want to see going forward once that is finalized. Then on the issue of the engagement with the in relation to the grading in the form of MBS, Honorable Bombas, we do have discussion. It might not be a form of MBS, but there's continuous stakeholder engagement around the issue of grading. So I've got a dedicated team in the unit that is dealing with these matters. And is engaging almost all the relevant stakeholders on the education workshops and the importance of grading and what are the benefits thereof and all other related matters. It might not, as I've indicated, take a form of MBSO, but there is a program that is there in terms of making sure that we sensitize the industry to be able to understand the importance of them being graded. I'm not sure whether the question of the criteria was answered of offices that was asked by Honorable Bush, but if it was okay, but if it was not, just to reflect on it, as you will see in the presentation that is made on our markets,
our markets are the ones that informs us as to where do we need offices, because we have got limited resources. It's not possible to have offices everywhere. So we therefore place or prioritize to establish offices in the markets that we're targeting as our market for South Africa. That's where we place or prioritize to have offices, because that's where market are in the context of the international tourism market of South Africa. And then let me conclude by saying the target for which, as the acting CEO was saying, the policy position which was announced during SONA by the president. It's a target that was, as you know, was announced in 2019 before the COVID-19 pandemic that has created havoc for the economy and hugely impacted the tourism sector as a whole. So there is a need for us to revisit that and then be able therefore to say what new targets do we think is feasible, is practical, taking into consideration that the analysis by UNWTO has said, has indicated that the COVID-19 has derailed or has taken the tourism sector backward by almost more than 10 to 15 years, which, as Robert was indicating, the study indicates that we will only be able to start recovering in the next coming 3 to 4 years. And therefore, to go back to our normal targets that we were in 2019, which is 10.3 million. And then moving from that 10.3 million to 21 million will be a mission impossible for 2013 targets to be realized. And therefore, it's a matter that we'll have to have internal discussions and be able to then advise accordingly what could be the best possible new targets if we still want to move to 2030. What is achievable by 2030? If we still want to stick to 21 million, what will be the new year target for that 21 million? So those are issues that we'll still have to engage upon. And then lastly, the issue of the global health passport, it's a matter that belongs to, it's a health matter that is being handled by the Department of Health. It's not a matter that is going, it's a matter that only affects a tourist market, but it's a factor that affects everybody to travel for various reasons, whether for leisure, whether for business, for athletes or for any other activities. So it's a matter that is therefore being handled by the Department of Health in relation to that matter, and it's a global matter, as you say, and therefore there should be a global agreement on how this matter is being handled internationally, so that we have got the international standards or benchmark or regional standards that applies, so that you don't have a situation where when tourists are traveling from one country to the next in one region, they are subjected to various norms and standards. So that's why the Department of Health is at the center of coordinating that matter at the end. So but currently, as you know, the requirements for anybody coming to South Africa
it is announced by the president and proclaimed by the Department of Health recently after the end of the disaster, a proclamation that for anybody to come to South Africa must have a vaccination certificate or an antigen test or a PCR 72 hours. A failure to do that, then they must be subjected to antigen test and all other related matters. So those are issues that are gazetted, which are there as part of a measure to control the spread of the virus. But as you know, there is a process until the 5th of May, as extended by the Department of Health for the input from the public in relation to the measures that needs to be put in place as part of a process of controlling the spread of the virus, because the virus is still there, still with us, and therefore we still need to make sure that we curtail its spread and make sure that we create a safer environment and a safer destination, especially for tourists coming to South Africa. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. For such an eloquent responses. Thanks to the SAT team for such a fruitful presentation and the contribution of honorable members thereof. I will now release you, DM, and your team, so that as honorable members, we are able to consider our draft minutes and our oversight report. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Hello, Mr. Bolchina?
Hello, Chairperson.
Are we alone in these platforms?
Chair, I see the SAT is out. We are just left with the support team from the department and the minister and the minister's office.
So they want to listen to our minutes.
No, the support, team, Chair, the PLOs and those people who are part of the center.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure, Chairperson. If the committee members are comfortable. I wanted to suggest, Chair, given that the network is becoming more and more unstable, I wanted to suggest to the Chair and the committee whether can we consider that next week we will be considering the report on the budget vote report. Then can we take that oversight report and these minutes to that meeting?
Present the minutes.
Oh, okay, Chairperson.
Present the minutes.
Oh, okay.
Our meeting. It's 11 o'clock and we're supposed to finish at 12.
Okay. No, thanks, Chairperson. I was a little bit worried about this, and also some of the other members who were considering attending the.
Jerry, our meeting is supposed to finish at 12. Present a minute.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Chairperson, the. Okay, I want to start and share this. These are the minutes of the 29th chapter. Chair, the committee will recall that on the 29th of March, we had that meeting of the portfolio committee where we were considering our strategic plan and the annual performance plan. The members will also recall that meeting we had it outside Parliament at a place called the Spade Botico Hotel and Spa in Alfred Nzo Street in Mandela Park. Chair, we members will see members who were part way in that meeting at that time. We had those members and the members who have apologized. The script plan, Chair, was tabled and was considered extensively by the committee in that session, and we almost done with those two documents, the strategic plan and also annual performance plan. What we only need to do now, Chairperson, is just to present a final document so that it can be signed off by the Chairperson, so that we can submit it to Parliament, the Chairperson, as a document or a blueprint document that will be used by the portfolio committee going forward, and also requesting Parliament to indicate to us the budget allocation to fund that annual performance plan of the portfolio committee. So really those are the two main issues that were discussed by the committee in that meeting, Chairperson. If then we can have another meeting, then just to look the final document for the Chairperson to sign it off, we submit it to Parliament so that the Parliament can provide us with the resources to implement that program of the committee. So basically those are the two issues for that meeting, Chair. If the committee has no other issues that are fundamentally in this, then I will propose, Chairperson, that the committee endorse the minutes of the 29th of March, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Poltina. Honorable members, are the minutes a true reflection of our meeting?
Honorable Chair,
remove the adoption of the minutes if there is nothing.
Honorable Chair, I write to remove the adoption of the minutes to be the minutes that reflect the discussions of the day when we were sitting at the space. Thank you.
Honorable Mbushe.
Thanks, Chair. I second the move for the adoption of the minutes, Chair.
Thank you so much, honorable members. So the minutes are duly adopted. Can we move, Mr. Poltina?
Okay, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Chair, the next set of minutes were the minutes of the 3rd of May. Chair, the committee will recall that on that date we met with the Department of Tourism on the same agenda item where they were presenting their annual performance plan and also the proposed budget allocations for 2022 and 2023 financial year. Chair, members will see members who were present in the portfolio committee meeting, that's the attendance. And then those members who have apologized, and their apologies have been noted. discussed and reflected in the meeting. The department presented all what it has presented, all their four programs and those proposed allocations to those programs. The committee welcomed that presentation and also just raised a couple of things that they needed to be looked at. For instance, one of those issues was the impact of these court rulings that have happened, which are affecting the Department of Tourism and its work, and also the issue of the recruitment of the Chief Financial Officer, an issue that the committee is also raising even in today's meeting. And also the committee was concerned about the assistance to the SMMEs as they are affected by floods. And also the same issue that the committee has is raising again in this meeting, the issue of the policy review, Chairperson. And also the supply chain management and also the issue of officials of the state that are doing business with the government, and also the implementation of the audit risk committee recommendations, and this is the matter of the DDM, the district development model. So those are some of the issues that the committee raised a concern to the department about that they need to be looked at. And then also we have agreed, Chairperson, we will just look at the date, the specific dates, where, for instance, we will have a meeting with the department together with the Development Bank of Southern Africa so that they can explain to us in thoroughly this memorandum of understanding in terms of taking up the infrastructure projects throughout the country. So as soon as we find an alternative state within the program, we are going to implement that resolution as soon as possible. Chair, if the committee has no issues that we have left behind, we will propose that the committee endorse this draft minutes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bolsa. Honorable members, can I get an indication of whether the minutes are a true reflection of the meeting by adopting the minutes or not? Honorable Makubela.
Honorable Chair, I move for the adoption of the set of these minutes is a true reflection of what ensued in our portfolio committee, which took place last week, Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makubela. Can I get a second there?
Honorable Gumba. Honorable Chair, I move to second for the adoption of the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Members. Our minutes are duly adopted. Can you move, Mr. Bolsina?
I'm hearing a sound. I'm not sure whether it's better or vision or what.
Please switch off your mic.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, in the documents that we have circulated to the portfolio committee, we have also added the draft report of the oversight report to Limpopo Province. What we were then requesting to the committee to do now, we just want to table this report to the committee so that members of the committee, more especially members who were in that delegation that went to Limpopo, members can...